Detention, torture, and the execution of dissident members. The UN Human Rights Watch report in 2005 on the Mojahedine Khalq organization is infused with such terms. Unlike previous reports, which focused primarily on the organization's terrorist and intelligence operations, the 2005 report was an analysis of the organization's inner workings. The report accused the organization of treating its members non-democratically, and this frightened the MKO.
A number of witnesses who were detained and tortured inside the MKO camps named Hassan Izzati as one of their interrogators. Hassan Izzati's son, Yasser Izzati, also interviewed for this report, confirmed his father's identity as an MKO interrogator.
وقتی که رفتم آلمان، یه سری از بچه‌ای که قبل از من تونسته بودن به هر نحوی فرار کنن و این سازمان جدا بشن، خاطراتی از پدرم تعریف می‌کردن که اسم مستعارش نریمان بود. از اینکه وقتی که اینا اعلام جدایی میکردن از سازمان مثلا پدرم میومد اینا رو لخ میکرد بازرسی بدنی میکرد و اینکه به هر حال سازمان پدرم رو یه قربانی کرده بود و اینکه مثلا کسایی که میخوان جدا بشن اینا مامورن افراد عضو سپاهن افرادی عضو وزارت اطلاعات هستن و این خب پدر من نمیشه فکر کنه که این حرف درست اشتباهه و سرسپردگیشو به رجوی نشون میداد و اینا رو مورد عزت آزار و شکنجه و به هر کتک و اینجور کارا رو انجام میداد.
البته اعضایی که میومدن اونجا از بچه های اطلاعات سازمان مجاهدین که از اونا بازجویی میکردن یه چند نفر ثابت بودن که یکیش اسم سیدعلی بود، یکیش هم حسن محصل بود، یکی اسم مستعار داشت به نام بهش میگفتن نریما ولی اسم واقعیش رو کنم حسن عزتی بود اینا. این ترکیب ثابت بودن که از بچه ها بازجویی میکردن، از افرادی که اون چیز بودن قسمت بودن اینا بازجویی میکردن.
دو را بیشتر نداشت، یکی مرگ بود یا باید مرگ رو انتخاب میکردی با اینا در میفتادی میگفتی دیگه حالا یا میمیرم یا میرفتی جلوتر میگفتی حالا بریم جلوتر ببینم چی میشه. من تو این نقطه که یه بار امتحان کرده بودم دیدم نه، یعنی مرجم قطعیه، هیچ راهی نیست که من از اون اشرف بیام بیرون.
از دوران کودکی اون چیزی که یادم میاد،
According to my childhood memories, my mother was a teacher, not a political activist. My father, for some personal reasons, decided to cooperate with the MKO.
با سازمان مجاهدین همکاری کنم. حدوداً سال 63-64 بود که
I guess it was 1984 or so when my parents and I, along with another married couple, Farah Shaybani, and her husband, Mohammad Shaybani, headed towards Kurdistan border.
حرکت کردیم به سمت مرز کردستان.
Yasser Izzati was 3 years old when his father decided he and his mother would be going to Ashraf Garrison in Iraq during Saddam's regime. A decision that triggered an avalanche of misfortunes for the Izzati family.
In Ashraf Garrison, there were around 800 children from newborn babies to adolescents. After a while, a rumor circulated that some children were being sent abroad, and as a result, the number of children was dropping or going to drop.
که بعدها که بزرگ شدیم فهمیدیم که
Later on, when we grew up, we realized that at that time ideological divorce was being enforced. Children could prevent spouses from getting a divorce. So we were being sent abroad. This way, the organization could implement the ideological divorce plan successfully and subsequently prevent spouses from meeting each other. Children were the only link that could reconnect separated parents. Finally, we went to Jordan by bus. Near Jordan's airport, we stayed in a hotel booked by the organization for about 2 weeks. Then with passports belonging to MKO supporters living abroad, we flew to predetermined countries.
During the MKO ideological revolution, Hassan Ezzati separates from his wife, Akram Qadimul Ayyam, while his son Yasser struggled with the adverse effects of Rajavi's methodology. His methodology is defined in the UN Human Rights Watch report as such.
The MKO's leadership consists of the husband and wife team of Masoud and Maryam Rajavi. Their marriage in 1985 was hailed by the organization as the beginning of a permanent ideological revolution. Various phases of this revolution include divorce by decree of married couples, regular writings of self-criticism reports, renunciation of sexuality, and absolute mental and physical dedication to the leadership. The level of devotion expected of members was in stark display in 2003 when the French police arrested Maryam Rajavi in Paris. In protest, 10 MKO members and sympathizers set themselves on fire in various European cities. Two of them subsequently died. Nine former members cite the implementation of the ideological revolution as a major source of the psychological and physical abuses committed against the group's members.
Later on, we realized that the organization intended to gather children from all over the country and bring them up according to its own ideology. The organization was reluctant to see us being brought up as foreigners. So we were summoned to Cologne, Germany. I was 16 years old then. One day, our new supervisor in Germany named Peri Moshvernia brought me my mother's last will and testament. My mother was a victim of Rajavi's warmongering. She said my mother had lost her life for the organization's cause and I had to avenge her death. My mother's last will and testament had a great impact on me. Long story short, we returned to Ashraf Garrison in Iraq.
But when Yasser decides to leave the organization, he enters a new phase of his life. He and his fellow men never imagined they would have to pay such a heavy price for their decision.
The former MKO members reported abuses ranging from detention and persecution of ordinary members wishing to leave the organization to lengthy solitary confinements, severe beatings, and torture of dissident members.
When I announced my intentions to separate from the organization, my father slapped me hard across the face, warning me not to do any such thing. I realized then that we were deprived of freedom of choice. We had to obey the organization's orders. Strangely enough, my father had changed into a staunch member of the organization. He would do whatever was to the benefit of the organization.
از سلام نکردنهاش چند بار مثلا من میرفتم پیشش سلام میکردم خیلی سرد جواب میداد.
He seemed cold and distant when I went to see him. In festivals and ceremonies, he would always ignore me to portray himself as a loyal member to the organization. He was a victim of Rajavi's cult. He was brainwashed.
رجوی بود که بهش شستشوی مغزی داده شده بود.
I was taken to solitary confinement, which they called exit. I spent 14 months there.
The fall of Saddam's regime was good news for the Iraqi people. It opened a window to the outer world for those imprisoned in the bowels of the MKO garrison.
کلاً بعد از حمله آمریکایی‌ها به عراق هم همه مشاهده کردیم که طی پیام‌های مختلف مسئول رجوی گفت که موازات آمریکایی می‌خوایم حرکت کنیم. کتابخونه ها تصفیه شد، کتابایی که مربوط به آمریکا و ضد امپریالیستی و از این شعارهای سازمان بود همه جمع‌آوری شد و همه تقریبا توجیه شدیم که به موازات آمریکایی خطوط استراتژیک سازمان باید چیده بشه.
یه روز من نشسته بودم تو اتاقم که یفیدم در محکم باز شد و
One day I was sitting in my room when the door flew open and some servicemen came in. In one quick glance I noticed they were wearing army uniforms with no badges on their shoulders or arms.
خب شایعاتی هم من شنیدم که انگار FBI وارد شده. خلاص اینا با من صحبت کردن اینا گفتن که
Rumor had it that the FBI had entered the garrison. They asked about my identity. I told them that I wanted to separate from the organization. They told me that they would transfer those who wanted to separate from the organization to another place and then to a foreign country. They said I could join them.
Yasser was released and went to Europe. The UN Human Rights Watch interviewed him and mentioned his name in a report.
After the first 6 months in Iraq, I realized I had no desire to stay. In Europe, I had an image of a democratic organization. But in Iraq, I realized the extent of censorship and control. I wanted to leave. I was repeatedly told the only way out was to go to Iran. I was too afraid to go to Iran.
My name is Mohammad Reza Goli. I'm from a village near Sari. I got my school diploma from Sari and I'm 51 years old. In 1985, I received an invitation from a relative who was studying in Germany. So I went to Germany. My intention for staying there was to attend university. Financial problems and visa restrictions made me return home after a month. I spent a few years in Iran after my return, and in 1988, I went to Istanbul looking for a job. I was also waiting for an opportunity to apply to a university. However, in Istanbul, I met MKO members. They gave me a number of journals to read for a short time. Then I joined the association. For a while, we were working in Istanbul, by going to crowded places and distributing journals and giving the organization's address to those who had come from Iran. It was after the Chel Chirag operation, when I was dispatched to the zone, I remained in Iraq and continued activities related to the organization.
...24 years inside Ashraf Garrison had made a professional organization member out of Mohammad Reza Ghoulie. His mentality was that of a man who's lived in a cult. He knew very little about the outside world. Ashraf Garrison. On the other side of the walls, Mohammad Reza's brothers wait, hoping to see him. But they are not allowed in. On the other side, Mohammad Reza toils endlessly.
During Saddam's regime, we were equipped with weapons and therefore we were involved in armed activities. But when Saddam was removed from power, we were deprived of arms. So we shuffled the cards by engaging in social activities. And that's what I did within the organization. We would invite between 5,000 to 10,000 people to the garrison every day, and we would give them books and pamphlets to feed them politically. We held long discussions in order to convince them that even in Iraq, their real enemy is the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that although the U.S. had occupied the country, it was not their real enemy.
After a while, the number of MKO members who wanted to leave the organization began to increase. Mohammad Reza had a new mission. Now, he had to watch over his like-minded friends, who had to be kept apart from other MKO members for one reason or another. The International Human Rights Organization has frequently reported on MKO prisons inside the garrison. In response to all the criticism, MKO leaders have said these facilities are not prisons, but just quarantines.
We tried to convince them that Ashraf prisons were in fact quarantines, despite the fact that reports released by international organizations describe them as what they really are. I was, for a while, in charge of one part of these prisons. In fact, I was a jailer. We would take dissident members into rooms and lock them up, and then a team from the intelligence service would come and interrogate them.
One of these prisoners was Mohammad Reza Mobayyan.
I was kept in solitary confinement for 5 months and 15 days. During this period, I was taken outside the cell only for midnight interrogations. The first day, I was beaten, but to be honest, on other days, most of the abuse was verbal rather than physical. Anyway, during these 6 months, I was tortured physically and emotionally. About 3 months after my detention, they told me that I had immigrated to Iraq illegally. Therefore, if I wanted to separate from the organization, I had to spend 8 years in Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. I refuted that by saying I had entered Iraq with the passport they gave me. They denied it, accusing me of illegal immigration.
Being accused of illegal immigration to Iraq, some members were transferred to Abu Ghraib prison, a place where MKO dissident members were held. During Saddam's regime, they were labeled Mujahideen safekeeping by the MKO itself.
During Saddam Hussein's last year in power, some Iranians held in Abu Ghraib prison were repatriated to Iran in exchange for Iraqi prisoners of war. These were dissident members of the MKO who had been sent by the organization for safekeeping in Abu Ghraib. The release of these prisoners in 2002 and 2003 provided a direct window into conditions inside the MKO camps that was previously inaccessible to the outside world.
One of Mohammad Reza's activities in Ashraf Garrison was singing. He had a good singing voice, so he decided to go on the organization's official TV channel called Azadi TV in order to send a message to his family.
During my first 7 years in the organization, my family was looking for me. Unfortunately, like other MKO members, I was not allowed to have contact with my family. The organization's excuse was that we were involved in an intelligence and military war with Iran. We could write to our family, but unfortunately, the organization never posted our letters.
شروع کردم از همون سال 76 که بعد از زندان آزاد شدم دیگه قرار شد بمونم توی اشرف.
I was released from prison in 1997. The lesser of the two evils was to stay in Ashraf Garrison. So I started going to their singing activities, hoping somehow it would help my family find out where I was. That is the story of my singing. By the way, my voice was better than that of others.
تا اینکه همین خانواده من بعدن که اومدم بعد از 10 سال ایران.
After 10 years, a relative I used to go to the mountains with called them and told them he'd seen me on Azadi TV. It was the first time in 7 years that my family had received news about me.
In another corner of Ashraf Garrison, Mohammad Reza Ghuli, the MKO prison warden, is making big, life-changing decisions.
What occupied a lot of my thoughts was this. If this system was based on democracy, why did some members want to escape?
Why didn't they tell the authorities that they wanted to leave the organization? I concluded that members that had been working for the organization for 20 to 30 years were under some kind of pressure that prevented them from asking permission to leave.
Mohammad Reza, who once watched over MKO dissident members as a prison warden, has now joined them. He had experienced the ordeals members had been through and sympathized with them. He knew that there was just one way to leave Ashraf Garrison, to flee. Finally, with the help of his friend, Mohammad Reza planned his escape.
I am Ghaffar Balafkande and I am 34 years old. I live in a village near Fuman city in northern Iran. I was a high school student in Fuman before I dropped out. I was studying industrial electronics.
In 2001, Ghaffar left Iran for Turkey in the hope of finding a more lucrative job. It was in Istanbul where he met MKO recruiters. They suggested he go to Iraq and ask the MKO to facilitate his immigration to Europe. Ghaffar took the bait. A short time later, he found himself in Ashraf Garrison.
In the early days of my stay in the garrison, they told me that they didn't have a job for me. I reminded them that they took me there promising me a job and the chance to go abroad. They went back on their promises. I began protesting. They warned me if I kept protesting, I would be sent to an MKO prison for 2 years and then to Abu Ghraib for 8 years, till my information would render useless. I spent 10 years in Ashraf Garrison. During that time, they told us everyone was free to leave the organization. They told us that entering the organization was difficult, but leaving it was not. But it was the exact opposite. It was easy to enter the organization, but incredibly difficult to leave it.
Entering the organization isn't difficult at all. I have seen criminals or even drug addicts recruited by the organization. But leaving the MKO is not easy.
They would tell us that the doors of the garrison were open and we were free to leave. But when we announced our intentions to separate from the organization, they began to exert pressure on us. They would hold long and often public sessions. In the public sessions, around 60 members would gather together and abuse the person who wanted to leave the organization.
Sometimes they spat contemptuously right in the person's face, trying to humiliate him. All of a sudden, 10, 20 or even 50 members would rise up and shout at the person who was standing among the crowd. And this mental torment was much worse than physical torture.
Ten years passed. Ghaffar was determined to escape from Ashraf Garrison. But his decision could have fatal consequences.
In the garrison, the atmosphere was charged with suspicion. There was no one there you could easily confide in. Your friend might tell on you. In such an atmosphere, members were controlled by each other.
I shared my escape plan with my intimate friend, Mohammad Reza Iskardi, and he agreed to come with me.
اونجا پرید نیم و اول دیگه تموم شد دیگه اینا ما دسترسی نداشتن.
دویدیم سمت کیوسک سربازای عراقی که اونجا بودن، رفتیم خودمونو رسوندیم به اونا و خودمونو معرفی کردیم.
با اونا صحبت کردیم، گفتیم که ما از کمپ اومدیم و بعد اونا ما تحویل گرفتن. تماس گرفتم با فوج، بعد فرمانداشون اومدن و سوار ماشین کردن. اون شب مهمانشون بودیم که فرداش نظامشون بغداد.
I know some people who escaped after me. I never imagined they would escape from the garrison too. Among them, there were some members who always praised the organization and their leaders, Masood and Mariam Rajavi. And during public assembly, there were those members who would shout, at the ready, clenching their hands into fists, and they pretended to be top members of the organization. So their escape astounded me and made me think long and hard about why such devoted members escaped in the end.
خودم متعجب ماندم که خب داستان چیه؟ اینا که خیلی دو آتشه بودن، اینا که خیلی وفادار بود به اینا.
A devoted MKO member was Ahad Rasulpour. A picture showing him taking an oath of loyalty to the organization has been used by different media outlets and printed in various books.
They were so good at numbing you out so that sometimes we didn't even dream at night. They would make you so exhausted mentally so that you hadn't the energy to dream.
یه خوابم نمیدی، یعنی یه خوابی ببینی نه. بعدش هم که اینا احساس میکردن شما آمادگی دارین.
They took you to Masood Rajavi's assembly whenever they decided you were qualified. There was an assembly called Blood and Breath. The so-called Blood and Breath signing meant wowing Masood and Mariam were all that mattered in our lives. When you signed, you made a contract with the organization for entering into the army. We had to sign the blood and breath contract, which meant we were to give our blood for Mariam Rajavi and our breath for Masood Rajavi.
نفستون مال مسعود رجویه.
تا آخرین نفس.
آخرین نفس.
و تا آخرین قطره خونم.
تا آخرین قطره خونم.
Part of the brainwashing process in the MKO's cultic system is the ceremonies, in which members pledge allegiance to the organization.
دیگه من واقعا به این نقطه میرسیدم که من دیگه برای اینکه دیگه منفجر می‌خواستم بشم.
Psychologically speaking, I was on the verge of collapsing under the pressures I had to bear. And I signed the contract not to adhere to it but to ease the pressure they exerted on me to stop them harassing me.
فرزاد راجی
حاضر حاضر.
These oaths, however, are by no means sincere. Members take them to reduce psychological and physical pressures that the system exerts on them. By pledging obedience in verbal and written form in front of cameras and their fellow captives, MKO members are in fact buying time for their escape. When they do finally manage to escape the cult and return to society, all those oaths of allegiance are forgotten or metamorphosed into vows of vengeance against the cult.
واقعیت این بود که این قسم خوردن و سوگند از روی تمایل خود فرد نبود. خب یک چیزی بود که خلاصه از بیرون با آدم تحمیل شده بود که آقا مثلا حتما این قسم رو تو باید مثلا بخوری. تو موقعی که تو اونجا بودی نمیتونستی بگی آقا من این قسم رو نمیخورم. بخاطر همین آدم مجبور بود که یک چیز اجباری بود که مثلا تو این قسم رو حتما بخوری، وگرنه اونجا باید برخورد میشد. نمیتونستی بگی آقا من همچین قسم این من نمیخورم نمیتونم.
Another method the MKO uses to brainwash members is forcing them to divorce, announcing that the emotional bond between married couples prevents them from being truly sacrificial. Masoud Rajavi, the leader of this terrorist cult, ordered all members to divorce their spouses. For those who were single, things were different.
During the first meeting I had with female officials, they gave me a divorce form. They asked me to divorce my wife. I said I was single. They told me that single people have priority over married ones in this case. I didn't understand what they meant. I just signed the form and divorced my hypothetical wife. They told me to divorce my imaginary wife.
Mounting pressures made Rasool contemplate leaving the organization, a perilous venture.
A few women came to me and asked me to sign a form. The form read that I was an infiltrator from Iran. I didn't sign the form. I was sent to solitary confinement. Once again, they took me to a room for the counterintelligence to be interrogated. They wanted me to sign a form that stated I was an infiltrator from the Iranian intelligence service. But I never signed it. They told me I had to spend 2 years in prison. It was 2004, and after the fall of Saddam Hussein, when I got the opportunity to escape, I didn't share my plan with anybody. I managed to escape from the MKO organization in 2004 and turned myself into the U.S. forces.
Promising cushy jobs and an easy life in the West is one of the MKO's tried and tested recruiting techniques, a trick that drove many Iranian youths from Turkey to Iraq. Sadegh Khavari is one of them.
We hadn't the faintest idea what the MKO was and what it did. They deceived us by saying that they could help us get asylum in any country we chose. They said they could offer us work. They promised to help us. When we came to Ashraf Garrison, we realized it was all a lie. Little by little, we realized we were going to face a grim fate.
Sadegh and two of his friends came up with an ingenious plan for escaping Ashraf Garrison, using an armored car to cross the barbed wire.
Finally, after 10 years, I decided to escape from the camp, but it was easier said than done. We didn't know what was going on outside the camp, and that unnerved us. Ali and Muhammad Karim, two of my friends, wanted to escape as well. We decided to meet up. Although that wouldn't be easy. Because we were under suspicion and therefore under their surveillance and control. So we wrote to each other instead.
بسات خلاص
We crossed the barbed wire with the help of a patrol car. The vehicle broke down, so we abandoned it.
Breaking free from the MKO is a daunting task, and for women, unbelievably difficult. Women are trapped in the tangled web of the system to such an extent that they are subjected to sterilization, a devastating tool used to discourage them from ever trying to return back to society.
داستان سازمانی که تعریف می‌کنین چون نبودی انگار که داری داستان خود زندگی خودت رو هی تداعی می‌کنی برات بعد یه خاطره بدی برات هی می‌مونی گیر می‌کنی از کجا حرفتو ادامه بدی مثلا یه چیزی میمونه انگار که تیک می‌زنه تو مغزت خب من کجا بودم
I was 17 years old when my brother and I went to Turkey, hoping to study in the West one day. In Turkey, we faced a lot of problems. We met a group who suggested we go to an Arab country to solve the problems of getting visas for the West.
بریم به اروپا. اونجا که ما نمیدونم چرا ولی خب چون تمام مسیرها رو
Since we had no options, we did what they said. Along with the group, we went to Baghdad. We were taken to Ashraf Garrison. We realized what a fatal mistake we had made.
یه قرارگاهی به اسم قرارگاه اشرف که تازه فهمیده بودیم کجا رفتیم. دو نوع آموزش داشتیم یکی آموزش ایدئولوژی بود تشکیلاتی بود یکی آموزش نظامی بود
In the garrison we had two types of education ideological and military I never got good marks in the ideological courses but I was the best in military classes I was under pressure to get good marks in ideological courses as well
چرا که این دو تا مثل هم نیستن باید اینم تشکیلات ایدئولوژیکت برسه به حد نظامی نمره هاش انقدر خوب یاد بگیری گیرایت خوب باشه فکر می‌کردم خدایا چرا من اینطوریم چرا اینو
گیرایی ندارم I wonder why I was good at military training and bad in ideological stuff Little by little I realized that the military training was giving me a power that I could use to my benefit I could use it to escape from the garrison. I didn't like the organization because I never chose it.
ولی خب تشکیلات رو دوست نداشتم چون هدفم نبود و سازمان رو نمیخواستم چون اصلا انتخابش نکرده بودم. من همیشه سر غذا خیلی وسواسم. الان حتی تو زندگی من اینطوریم.
I'm very fastidious when it comes to food. They used to add camphor to our food in order to weaken our sex drive. Because of the camphor, the women started growing hair on their faces, especially on their chins. So I didn't eat food with a great amount of camphor. For example, I would prefer yogurt to stew because their stews were full of this stuff, but didn't put it in the yogurt. So I prefer to eat more fruit and vegetables and less food. I was criticized for doing so.
چون مسئول رجوی شعار داشت به اسم اینکه همه زنان عالم ناموس رهبری هستند.
Masoud Rajavi said he was the guardian of all the women in the world. That meant that I was his property. And no man was allowed to look at me. It also meant male members were not allowed to be attracted to the opposite sex, because he was the guardian of all women, whether they were MKO members or not. They portrayed men as wild creatures and asked us not to think about them because it was against our cause. As wards of the leadership, we were not supposed to allow wild males to enter our territory. They portrayed men as wild creatures that we women had to avoid.
همیشه از مردم برای ما یه بوتی درست کرده بودن که این آره همون نرینه وحشیه آدمیه که خلاف قانون مقررات ما نباید بهش فکر کنیم. یه مدت خیلی اذیت می‌کردن منو بنگالی کردن.
For about 2 months, I was sent to Bengali, or solitary confinement, that was outside the residential district. It was located in a remote area inside the camp.
بعد تو محدوده آدما نبود. دورتر از یه محوطه بود. تو همون سازمان بود. ولی یه محدوده بود که تردد آدما نبود اونجا. فقط اون شخص بود. توی حالت بیابون. کانکسای بنگالی بود اونجا.
There, detainees were forced to stay alone in a desert-like place. There were Bengali containers, and I was sent there for about 2 months as punishment. Imagine being alone in a desert with a lot of empty containers. It is frightening, even during the day. You are afraid there may be a man, a stranger, in the next room.
دیگه آدم عصبی میشه. من فقط کارم این بود. چشام میبستم یه گوشه از کانکس.
At night, I would get very nervous. I had to close my eyes and put my fingers into my ears to fall asleep in the corner of the container. The days were frightening in one way and the nights in another. I was tired and exhausted all the time, but I couldn't sleep either. I could only doze.
وقتی که میخوابیدم چرت میزدم. خواب نبود. چون یه محدوده خاصی بود نمیذاشتم من از اون محدوده جلوتر برم.
Since it was a restricted area, I couldn't wander out. Abrian himself came into the container. He took my things.
وسایل منو یه سری از نیروهاش خودش برداشت همه وسایل من یه سریاشو.
I was like a rag doll. MKO members took hold of one arm and troopers the other, on the border between the MKO's territory and the outside world.
از اون برم نیروهای نظامی منو داشتن میکشن، آمریکایی‌ها داشتن منو میکشوندن.
I felt my arms were being pulled out of their sockets. I cried and tried to claw my way toward the US soldiers. Finally, they managed to drag me into their armored carrier.
مونده بود مادرم قسمت اونا. حالا مادرم من پس نمیدادم.
They took my mother hostage, but I managed to save her anyway. That was the way I escaped from the organization.
حتما گروگان میگیرن. با هر بدبختی بود مادرم هم کشوندن اونجا. اینطوری بود که پروسه فرار من این تیپی شده بود.
The presence of the U.S. soldiers in the region was an opportunity for MKO members to flee from the organization. But I wonder why the U.S. forces left the region soon. I think if they had stayed there, no one would have remained in this garrison by now. I always looked around myself, searching every nook and cranny to find a way for escape. Once I was looking at the barbed wire fence to find a way for escape when I realized that they had a different shape. barbed wire is usually twisted outwards to prevent people from entering a place. But the barbed wire in the garrison was twisted inwards to prevent members from going outside.
ولی برعکس بود سازمان از توپ گذاشته بودن این حلقه ها رو واسه اینکه کسی نتونه از داخل به بیرون بره. ما اصلا ارتباط تلفنی سازمان نه ارتباط تلفنی داشتیم.
We were not allowed to call, write letters or meet our families. There were members in the garrison who had stayed for about 20 to 30 years but had no connection with their families. Many members think that they have no family while they have. Many members have lost their families hoping to meet them someday. At the moment, many members are afraid to return to Iran to exit the garrison. They are afraid of their unknown future. There is no point of return for them because the organization has destroyed them both physically and psychologically. They turned into zombies in such circumstances. They are deprived of hope and energy that ordinary people enjoy.